The book of 1 John, chapter 5. We finish our study today of the book of 1 John. And kind of an exciting time as we close out this study. And we will turn over to a new subject next week. And I'm going to wait till next week to tell you what that subject is. You say, you don't know what that subject is. Yes, I do. But I'm not telling. 1 John chapter 5, blessed assurance. Would you stand with me as we read from beginning in verse 14? Now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. If anyone sees his brother sinning a sin which does not lead to death, he will ask, and he will give him life. For those who commit sin not leading to death, there is a sin leading to death. I do not say that he should pray about that. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is sin not leading to death. We know that whoever is born of God does not sin. But he who has been born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding, that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. Heavenly Father, give us ears to hear, eyes to see, hearts that understand. And I pray that we may respond to this message as you lead. Father, we pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. I do want to say, first of all, thank you to Brother Greg for filling in with me last week. We do have a new grandbaby, and we were very excited to welcome her into the world. But we're also very glad to be back home and very thankful for those who stepped up and stepped in to fill my place. And thank you for understanding my need to, well, I don't know if it was a need, but I wanted to be out of town for the birth of that baby anyway. And I appreciate y'all understanding. Thank you so much. But turning our eyes back toward the Word of God, as John closes this book, he gives us three things every child of God needs to know. And doesn't matter who you are, you need to know these three things. Number one, God answers prayers. Number two, sin is dangerous. And number three, purity is expected. Let's start with God answers prayers. In verse 14, where we started, John says, now this is the confidence that we have in Him. If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Well, now, first of all, for prayer to be effective, you have to do it right. Okay? And there is a right way and a wrong way to do prayer or to pray. There, as John makes this statement, he uses the word confidence, that there is, that we have this confidence in Him. If we ask anything concerning His will, He hears us. That word confidence is very interesting, because when we think of confidence, we think, when we're walking around, we're confident, right? Actually, that Greek word means openness. Openness and an attitude of plainness of speech. That there should be, in the life of a child of God, there should be an openness with God that you have with no other person in the world. That's the idea there. A plainness where you can take Him anything and go before His throne of grace to seek His help. Being completely open and honest with God. Because after all, He knows, right? He knows when you're putting on. And by putting on, I mean covering up, you know. And we'll go to God and we'll you know, pray these beautiful prayers. And it's as though we can impress God with our words. We will not impress God with our words. You know what God wants? He wants you to be honest with Him. I mean, after all, He knows anyway, right? Have you ever looked a person in the eye that was lying to you? And you knew that person was lying to you? And he was avoiding what you wanted to hear from him, and he would talk about everything except what he needed to talk about? What did you think of that person? Hypocrite, right? God knows everything that's going on in you. Everything that's going on in your life. Quit playing like you're perfect. Be honest with God. Pursue that prayer life that literally reveals your soul to a loving God. Because that's what we need. Knowing that we can take anything before Him. I mean, He knows what you want. You know what's really interesting? He knows why you want it. Have you ever prayed, "Oh Lord, give me this, give me that"? As I prepared for this, I honestly felt a little guilty in my prayer life because I'm really bad. Lord, please give me this, and Lord, do this for me. But the question came to my mind: why do you want it? Why do you want these things? And most of the time, or a lot of the time, it's because I want them for my own pleasure. That's not a prayer life. That's not what God wants to share with you. You know, he not only knows what you want and why you want it, He knows any excuses that you have. Have you ever prayed, "Now, Lord, I messed up. But now, Lord, those people over there, they're worse than I am. So be merciful to me. Don't make excuses." Be absolutely open with God. Do you want the wrong things? Tell God, "God, I want the wrong things. Help me." You ever prayed that prayer? "Lord, I have the wrong desires in my heart. I'm chasing the wrong dreams. Lord, I'm not right. Please help me." You see, that's the kind of prayer that God is looking for. He's not looking to make you a millionaire. He's not looking to give you the world's greatest job or make you the world's most powerful person. He's looking for a relationship. And you cannot have a relationship with someone who you will not be honest with. That's what prayer is about. There must be an openness. There must be... well, your concerns must be in line with God's concerns. John said, if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. That word, anything, you know what that means? It means literally anything. But notice the qualifying statement. Anything according to His will. First thing we've got to realize is prayer is not to get your will done in heaven. It's to get God's will done on this earth. Okay? Your will has nothing to do with anything. My will has nothing to do with anything. It's what does God want? And the challenge here is that you match your desires with God's desires. You say, "Well, Brother Doug, how can I know God's will?" I'm glad you asked. Look at John 5, chapter 15 and verse 7. John tells us, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it will be done." You want to know how to know the will of God? Get into the Word. Everybody listen to me. Here's a fact. Young, old, in between, middle age, male, female, here's a fact. If you do not have a study life, you will not have a prayer life. You won't. Oh, you'll say those prayers. Lord, bless me, bless them, save the world, amen. That's not a prayer life. See, when you start getting into the Word, you begin to realize the things that God wants, the things that God desires even for you. And then that knowledge and that understanding will begin to show itself in your prayer life. Oh, Lord, I know a man who's lost. Put him in my path. Open the door that I can witness to him. There's God's desires. Do you pray that kind of prayer? Oh, Lord, empower me to teach my class. Lord, you ever pray this? Lord, use me in new ways that you've never used me before. You ever pray that prayer? Lord, and my personal favorite, thy will be done. Not my will. Lord, thy will be done. You remember when Jesus was praying in the garden and he prayed, Lord, let this cup pass from me, nevertheless, not my will, what? Thine be done. Do you ever pray that prayer? Oh, Brother Doug, that scares me. What if God calls me to preach? Ooh, wouldn't that be wonderful? What if he calls me to be a missionary? Fantastic! But I want to tell you something. God doesn't call everybody to preach. God doesn't call everybody to be missionaries. God doesn't call everybody to be music directors, youth directors, college ministers. God doesn't call. But he calls every one of us to ministry somewhere. Okay? Every one of us should be able to pray without fear, God, your will be done, no matter what it is. Brother Doug, that just scares me. Let me share with you. God is your heavenly Father, right? If you're a parent, you can kind of get this. I never set out to hurt my children. My children never ask me for lunch money. And I said, no, you don't need any lunch. Do without. I would never tell that to my kids. Now my grandkids ask me for anything and I say, okay, sure. But I have a love. I had a love for my kids and I wanted them to have my very best, the best that I could give them. I want to tell you something. My love and your love pales in comparison for the love that God has for you. You do not have to be afraid of what God's going to do in your life, because He's whatever it is He wants to do is going to be for your good. Yes. See, that's what prayer. That's why we have to get in line with God's desires in prayer. You see, when we're honest with God and our desires align with God's desires, we'll see powerful prayers. I do believe that with all my heart. Number two, sin is a dangerous thing. Let's talk about applying these prayers that we've just talked about. Verse 16, John says, if anyone sees a brother sinning a sin which does not lead to death, he will ask and he will give him life. For those who commit sin not leading to death, there is a sin leading to death. I do not say that he should pray about that. If anyone sees a brother sinning a sin which does not lead to death, he will ask. It's talking about praying for your brother. Being concerned for your brother who is caught up in sin. No, our problem today is that sin doesn't seem to bother us anymore. We can sit next to it and we're good with it. Right? Well, that's just the age that we're living in. No, it should bother us. And it should really bother us when we find a brother or a sister who is caught up in sin. Okay? Now you understand, before I go into this, I understand. We all mash our finger with a hammer and say something we shouldn't say. That's not what we're talking about here. All right? We all have thoughts that, boy, I wished I hadn't thought, or I wished I hadn't said that, or, you know, we all have those moments. But I'm talking about a lifestyle of sin. That's what this is talking about. And seeing that brother that's caught up in a lifestyle of sin, we usually do one of two things. Number one, we'll look the other way and pretend it doesn't happen. Somebody that's guilty of adultery, and we know they're guilty of adultery, but we're not dare going to say anything to them because, you know, after all, the Bible says, judge not that you be not judged. And after all of us are sin, and sin is sin. All that's heresy from hell. Okay? It's not right. It's not. We're not talking about judging someone. We're talking about looking at a brother that is being taken down by sin, and helping that brother be delivered from that sinful condition. See, that's what a Christian, a godly concern is. You know, somebody that's guilty of brother, it takes a real brother to go put your arm around them and say, Listen, this is not what God has for you. You know, somebody that's guilty of sexual immorality? You know, teenager who's sexually active outside of marriage, you put your arm around them and say, listen, God has better for you. You know? But we're afraid to say anything. We're afraid, well, they'll point a finger at us. Our faith needs to run a little deeper than that. And I'm not saying running around and pointing fingers. I'm saying having a genuine concern. Don't ignore it. Somebody in your family, don't ignore it. Go to their side. Say, listen. And they may get this blank look on their face. And, I didn't know you knew. Yeah, I know. I'll tell you something. For everybody's information. Are you ready? Young and old, are you ready? Say amen. Amen. You can't hide your sin. Your sin will find you out sooner or later. It's going to come to the surface. And besides, God knows. But we try to either look the other way or we try to condemn. We look at people and say, oh my goodness, they're a sin. Let's take them out and crucify them. You know, let's kick them out of the church. Let's run over. Let's teach them. No. Listen, don't get me wrong. I believe in church discipline. I believe if a church loves its members, it will exercise church discipline, because a father that loves his children will discipline his children. Okay? And that's one of the messages in the near future, and we'll get into that, okay? But I want to tell you what. The attitude can't be to crucify them. Even in exercising church discipline and saying, okay, you're living in a lifestyle that is contrary with the Word of God, and you're living a lifestyle that is just opposite of what God's church stands for, and listen, we can't go down this road with you. Please come back. Please. Turn from that sin. You know? You don't crucify them. You come to their side with an attitude of restoration. That's why it says Galatians, in the book of Galatians, if a brother be overtaken in a sin, restore such a one in a spirit of meekness, lest you yourselves also be tempted. Come to their side. Come on, brother. Let me help you. I'll stand. I'll go through it with you. We'll get you out of this. Because sin is dangerous. Here's where we get to. John said, there's a sin unto death. Now this should raise eyebrows. This is where it gets interesting. You say, oh, there's a sin unto death? I'm going to share with you what that is. Okay? The world wants to think, well, God is always all about love and He understands my shortcomings and my lifestyle of sin. No, He didn't save you for sin to live that sinful lifestyle. He saved you to deliver you from that sinful lifestyle. And God is a God of judgment. Everybody get that. You know, say amen if you hear that. God is a God of judgment. He judges sin. He's always judged sin. Well, Brother Doug, God loves me. Yes, He does dearly. But He will judge your sin. You go back in the New Testament to Ananias and Sapphira as they lied. And the Bible says they lied to the Holy Spirit. They claimed to give all that they had given for a possession that they had sold. And they made a big show and brought it in and laid it at the feet of the apostles. And God moved the apostles. Is that all of it? Didn't ask you to give all of it, but you're making the show that it's all of it. And you know what they said? They said, yeah, that's all of it. Ultimately, the story, Acts chapter 5. God killed them. God killed them. Why? It was a sin unto death. They went too far. They refused. They had ample room to repent, and they refused to repent. That's not the only one. Okay? You remember in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, that Paul was talking to the church at Corinth, and he said, many of you are sick and even have died from abusing the Lord's Supper. Or they had gone too far. Same way with 1 Corinthians chapter 5. A young man was sleeping with a stepmother. And you know what Paul said about that? If you want to know about church discipline, read 1 Corinthians chapter 5. But Paul said, get him out of the church. Get him out of the church. Little leaven leavens the whole lump. Get him out. Deliver such a one to Satan, he said, for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of judgment. Paul's saying, deliver him to Satan. Let Satan destroy him. That's tough. Listen, you can go too far. I said, Brother Doug, how do I know when I've gone too far? It's when you no longer hear the conviction of God and are willing to respond to it. You see, there's a lot of people in this world, so-called Christians, who say, I don't care what God says. I don't care what the Bible says. I'm going to live the way I want to live. Let me tell you how this goes. If you go back to the book of Hebrews, okay? First of all, God chastens His children. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5. And have you forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as son? My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by Him. For whom the Lord loves, He chastens and scourges every son whom He receives. You know what that says? If God loves you, He's going to spank you every once in a while when you get out of line. How many of you have ever been spanked? What a joy it is. No. When I was growing up, I'll be honest with you, I was spanked several times. And I needed it. Never enjoyed it. But looking back, you know what? I thank God for giving me a mom and dad who would tan my bottom. Because pain is a great motivator. And it turned me several times in my childhood. It turned me away from the inappropriate behavior, and it turned me toward the appropriate behavior. Same way with God. You see, I knew my parents spanked me because they loved me. Same way with God. God sees His children living in adultery. God said, no, 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 that's not my child. He'll begin to spank you. He'll begin to put it on you. He said, you've got to decide how you're going to respond to that discipline. You'll either get deeper and deeper in that sin, or you'll listen. Oh, yeah, God, you really are chastening me. And you'll seek repentance. If there is no chastening, if you can live any way you want to live, without chastening from God, you are not saved. Brother Doug, Hebrews 12:8. But if you are without chastening, this is the Word of God. We believe the Word of God, right? Okay. If you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. You don't belong to God. If you can live like the devil and feel no remorse, no guilt, no chastisement from the Lord, you're not saved. Because see, what happens is when God's child starts to get in, you know, starts going down that sinful path, and you know, God begins, He gives that little slap on the wrist. And then if we don't listen to that, we get a little farther and God gets out the paddle. And then if we don't listen to that, then He gets out the board. And He'll chastise and He'll chastise. And we can be, you know, we can be stubborn and stiff-necked and it's my life, who are you to judge me, and I'll do what I want to do. And then you're in danger. Because I believe with all my heart, the Bible teaches that God will kill you. He'll take you from this earth. Brother Doug, I don't believe a loving God will kill you. You better believe it. 12:9. Furthermore, we've had human fathers who corrected us and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits? Read the last two words. One more time. And. One more time. And live. What do? We subject our hands on ourselves under the corrective hand of God and live. Listen to me. You can go down that road so far. You can reject God and I'm going to do what I want to do and live the way I want to live and be the way I want to be. And there's nothing anybody can do or say about it. There is too. God is God. And you have your existence because of the grace of God. Don't be stubborn and stiff-necked. You see, that's what this sin is to death. When sin unto death is when you get so stubborn and stiff-necked, I won't be moved. Well, watch God remove you when you won't be moved. Sad thing. Sad thing to live in sin when God wants His very best for you. Finally, purity is expected from the child of God. Purity is expected. Verse 18, we know that whoever is born of God does not sin. I love that verse because as soon as you read that, people's eyes perk up. Whoever's born of God does not sin. But he who has been born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. Whoever is born of God does not sin. What does that mean? Literally, and I don't know. Every translation is this way, and I don't know why they didn't translate it right, because everybody knows what this says. It means that everybody who is born of God does not practice or live in sin. Okay? Does not make sin the practice of their life. That's literally what it says and what it means. He who is born of God cannot and will not make sin the standard of their life. Okay? You can't do it. Why? Because God corrects you. If you refuse correction, then God takes you. You see, there are too many Christians, so-called Christians, who want to come to church on Sunday and live like the devil the rest of the week. Where there's no guilt, there's no conviction, there's no remorse, certainly no repentance. What do you need? You need to be saved. I love you. And I'm telling you this because I love you. If you can live a sinful lifestyle without guilt, remorse, correction of God, you better back up and look at your salvation experience. Because I'll tell you something. Always in my life, there's been this, the Holy Spirit of God living inside me. When I would try to take a wrong turn, it would be screaming, saying, no, don't you go. No, 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 Doug, don't you do it. Don't you do it. And sometimes, let's be honest, okay, sometimes I didn't listen. And I'd have to get a spanking from the Lord. But for the child of God, that voice is always there. Okay? That voice is always there, crying out, don't go down that road. Whoever is born of God does not practice or live in sin. You see, God expects something of His children. When we call ourselves children of God, we have to understand that there are expectations. Just like when my kids were growing up, I had expectations of them. Just like your mom and dad had expectations of you. Verse 18, here are the expectations. Verse 18says, He who is born of God keeps himself. That word keep, it means to preserve for a purpose. You see, the child of God, we are preserved for a purpose. And that purpose is not to please ourselves. That purpose is for the work of God. God has placed you here for His ministry, for His kingdom work. And that's what most Christians need to understand. We're in the world, but we're not to be of the world. We're placed here for a kingdom purpose. And you look here in the last part of verse 18, he says, And the wicked one, he keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. You know what that word touch means? It means to touch as a man would touch a woman. To be intimate with or have sexual relations with. How we would say that in today's language is, the child of God doesn't get in bed with the devil. It's literally what it means. Okay? Why? Because you're a child of God and you guard yourself. Because we know Him who is true. I love the last part of verse 20. And look at it with me if you would. That we may know Him who is true. And we are in Him who is true. In His Son, Jesus Christ. Who are we? Why are we not in league with the devil? Because we know the truth. We know the devil is not out for our good. He's not dangling this temptation before you so that your life can be improved. He's trying to destroy you. He wants to tear your life apart. There's nothing that Satan wants any more than to ruin the life of a child of God. But today, you know the truth. The truth is that we're in Him. We're in God the Father through Jesus Christ, His Son. And God the Father wants His very best for you. Don't let Satan destroy what God is building. I like the last line here. And by the way, little children, keep yourselves from idols. You know what an idol is? An idol is anything you'd put before God. That's an idol. John says, and by the way, you can tell, are you the child of God that you're called to be? Do you have any idols? Is God first? Is He always first? Or is there something else that takes precedent? By the way, little children, keep yourself from idols. Make God first. You may be here today, you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Listen, I'll just be honest with you. I just want to be straightforward with you. Being a child of God is good. Okay? I'm glad I'm a child of God. It's not always easy. It's not always, fun. But you know what I've discovered? I've discovered as a child of God, I'm not going through this life alone. And when it gets hard, I know I've got a Father in heaven that I can get on my knees and I can tell Him anything. I can tell Him even when I am wrong. Lord, I messed up on this. Please forgive me. Lord, I need help with this. Lord, please help me. I have a Father that I can tell anything to. Because I've trusted in the name of the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who gave His life upon the cross of Calvary for my sins so that I could have that relationship with God. Do you have it? If not, I want to invite you to come and to give your life to Jesus Christ. Begin your walk with God. Maybe you're here and the Lord's and you've been saved, but you've never followed the Lord in scriptural baptism. I want to challenge you. Hey, let's take our public stand. Let's let everybody know who we belong to. Let's get that baptism scheduled. You come during the invitation. Maybe you're here and the Lord's leading you to become a member of this church. Time to get on it and get started serving the Lord at Victory. You come. Whatever your spiritual need is, challenge. Just listen to God. You know, it's pretty simple. You know, what I've discovered about people is they'll come, "Brother Doug, I don't know what to do." Yes, you do. Deep down inside, you know. You just don't want to admit it. Admit it today. Listen to Jesus and do what He leads you to do. Heavenly Father, I pray for those in this service who are lost. I pray that today will be the day that they lay aside the hindrances, that You'll remove Satan far from them right now, who's breathing in their ear, giving them excuses. Get him out of here, Lord. I pray today they will come to You for salvation. I pray, Lord, for those in this service who've never followed You in baptism, You know who they are. I pray that today's the day they'll quit making excuses and they'll take their public stand. Pray for those, Lord, who need to join this church, who need to commit to a ministry, who need to respond to whatever You're leading in their lives. Lord, we just pray, Your will be done. Not our will, Your will be done in this invitation. Whatever You want, whatever You call us to do, wherever You call us to go, we pray Your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen.